I was reading an article in The Independent yesterday under the headline, TV builder Peter Finn says, I really encourage people to do DIY. Nowadays, we have lost some life skills. Well, of course, you'll know him possibly better as Pete the Builder on TV. Delighted to say that he's with us on the line now again. Morning to you, Pete, and welcome back to the programme.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Have we really lost that many life skills in and around the house where we tend to take the easy option now and sure, ring your man or ring your woman down the road and they'll come up and fix it for us?
Yeah, unfortunately, I really do truly believe that. I think back in different generations, we had no choice. We had tighter budgets, I suppose, and we basically used to put our hand to doing our DIY ourselves and doing repairs to our own homes a little bit quicker than we do. These days, we just tend to reach out to try and get trades in rather than trying to have a go at it ourselves. And I think that's something that we need to address. I think that we need to start getting those life skills back. And I really do feel that, you know, people are starting to take responsibility of their own homes. And no doubt about it, get a professional in when you need it. Like, you know, I'm not saying people need to go trying to work with their gas boiler or working on their electrics, but, you know, definitely painting a room or doing some upgrades to their homes can certainly be done by the homeowners before they reach out to trades.
Now, I remember talking on the programme last week, and I think we were talking to yourself, actually, where there was a survey came out and a lot of people didn't know where, for example, their boiler was in the house. They didn't know where the switchboard was, where the trip switch was, where the stopcock was, or what a stopcock even is. So, you know, as you say, years ago, people would have just had to learn those things because if they wanted to fix them, they'd to fix them themselves. Whereas nowadays, because you have so many skilled people that can come in and do it, you tend to take the easy option.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we all had to learn those life skills because when something went wrong, we tried to fix it ourselves. We tried to address the problem ourselves. We live in a different generation now. Obviously, phones have become such a big part of our lives. And the first thing that we do for every solution now is reach for the phone. And we either Google it or we just call someone to try and see when they can come in. But the reality of it is we're really badly struggling for tradespeople in our country at the moment. An awful lot of people have travelled abroad. There's a huge shortage of trade. So even if you did want to get someone in, unless you know somebody who's very local and very reliable, you're probably going to have to wait to get it done. So all I'm saying is try and upskill a little bit. Try and, you know, just learn the simple life skills that we all should have when we're a homeowner and know exactly what you just said there, know where your stopcock is. So if you have a leak, you can turn off the main supply water into your house. If there's no power in the room, your first protocol should be go down to the fuse board and see has there been a trip switch that has tripped, and you can address the problem from there. And again, as I said, I'm not telling anybody to try and become a cowboy or do what Daniel O'Donnell has been giving out about on the television, you know, fix your gas boiler, madam. None of that type of stuff. But no, look, you know, definitely taking into your own control some simple fixes. And again, like, not only that, it's very enjoyable. Like, I get huge job satisfaction now of working. I'm very lucky that I enjoy what I do. But I have three daughters and I get them to help me at home, my own house, when we're doing jobs around the house. And I try and teach them how to use the simple tools and how to get some skills as well. And I just think that's something that's probably getting lost a little bit. Yeah. And I think we should start getting back to our roots, you know. I've actually set up a platform where people can get advice as well. It's called Let's Talk Homes. And it basically addresses exactly that. And it goes a bit further with it as well. So if people are considering, should they get an extension or if someone is maybe looking to buy a second-hand home, they can contact us and we can help them out as well and give them some advice on the home.
Yeah, as you say, if it's something serious, you know, call a registered person, the likes of gas, and that advertisement just lives in my head the whole time where your man rocks up. I hear you have a wire needs a fixing.
Name's Buzz, yeah.
And you've Jedward or Daniel O'Donnell then who are on the ad as well. But come here, is it kind of as well trial and error? Maybe sometimes we're afraid to, oh, I wouldn't know how to do this or I might make a mess of it. But at the end of the day, it's your house. Give it a go. If it doesn't work, then you could call someone.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I think that people do wrong as well is they just decide on a Saturday afternoon, right, I'm going to start and I'm going to go straight at this job, and they probably don't have the right tools and the right materials with them. But whereas if you pre-plan and you have a look at the job, like, start off with something that's fairly manageable. Paint a room, maybe lay a laminate floor, you know, do some works out in the garden and just, you know, take a step by step and just see, first of all, you know, do you genuinely have the skills to do one of the simpler jobs? And if you do, then incrementally try and take something on that's a little bit more difficult. And then, you know, before you know it, it might be something that you really enjoy. My own brother, who would be the complete opposite to me, he's an academic type of a person. I'd be more of a practical, hands-on type person. But he bought his own house, and in fairness to him, out of nowhere, he suddenly became the guy that was going down to the DIY store and getting all sorts of different little bits and pieces for his house. I was actually delighted for him, and I was really proud of him. And he actually, to this day, tells me that it's something that he really enjoys doing because it's something different to what he does on his day-to-day, you know?
Are more and more people going into construction now and getting apprenticeships? Are they on the up again, do you think?
No, quite the opposite, actually, unfortunately. There's only recently been reports coming out that there's no doubt about it that the younger generations are being probably guided towards tech jobs and away from the likes of construction. And look, working in construction doesn't mean you're going around with a shovel and a wheelbarrow and a sledgehammer in your hand. Like, there's so many different areas within construction. There's so many different trades. And also, construction itself has got the technology in construction has gone through the roof. Like, you know, there's huge amount of opportunities for people to be in the construction industry, but they could be, you know, working on the technical side of it rather than actually physically on site. So I really feel that, you know, as a country, we've always had a great history of being well respected within the construction industry, and the level of craftsmanship that we can achieve in Ireland is well in excess of what you would see when you go on the continent. So I would love to see more people get into the industry, and sure, only recently there Simon Harris came out with his marketing strategy that he's going to try and put out to get people to come home from Australia and places like that to try and come home to try and fix the fact that we're so short on our own trades at home. I think he's going to have a hard battle there, but at the same time, it does show that we're struggling for that. I'd love to see people coming back home and being able to work here. There's definitely some challenges for that to happen, in particular housing crisis and stuff like that is not going to really encourage people back. But if we can get more trades and more people, young people who are coming out of school now interested in the trades, I think it can only be a good thing, and there's definitely huge opportunity out there for people. And last thing I say as well is the construction industry is not what it was years ago. Like, health and safety has really improved, working hours, the pay, all of that type of stuff. It's a much more secure industry than it used to be.
Yeah, we heard Simon Harris earlier on saying that over the next 5 years, if Fine Gael are still in government, they want to build 100,000 houses or thereabouts, 250,000 houses, I think. So
250, I think you said. Yeah.
You're going to need people to build those houses, so there will be jobs coming down the line.
There is. There's a huge amount of opportunity. Like, if you have a trade at the moment, you know, I mean, you have huge options in terms of a job or opportunities to go out, open your own business and do stuff like that as well. And there's no doubt about it. At this moment in time, there just isn't the workforce there to do it. We need, you know, lots of more people, male and female, to get into construction. And to achieve those numbers that Simon Harris is talking about, you're going to need a huge... We also have the energy upgrade that's going on as well, where we have, you know, all the grants available for people to increase the energy efficiency in their homes. And again, that's going to require a workforce to reach the targets that, again, our governments have to meet as well. So there's definitely a lot happening there in that industry. Look, I'm not saying that it's easy. No industry is easy to work in, but at the same time, there's huge opportunity there. And I feel that, you know, to be able to reach the targets, we need more people.
Before I let you go, Pete, the big fix, Home Rescue, back on our televisions this Thursday evening.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. The new series, myself and Dee Coleman, are back on the screens on this Thursday evening on RTE2 at 9:35. So tune in for more drama and makeover, some really, really interesting projects that we've done this year. So really excited to see the new series and looking forward to all the fun and games that we always have.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it. Thanks, as always, for taking our call this morning. Pete Finn, better known as Pete the Builder on TV, and Home Rescue, The Big Fix, is back on the televisions this Thursday evening on RTE2 at 9:35. Thanks again, Pete, for your time. Encouraging people to DIY, to do it yourself, if possible, and where safe as well. Can't stress that enough. Don't go out now and start, trying to install a gas boiler or anything like that yourself. But if there's a bit of painting to do, or, a little bit of small DIY work that has to be done, then why not do it yourself? Right, keep those messages coming in as well for our competition this morning. Punchestown running this year from Tuesday the 30th of April to Saturday the 4th of May. We have two pairs of choice tickets to give away each day on the programme this week. Choice tickets allow the holder to attend on any of one of the first 3 days, so Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. And a reminder that racing starts earlier on Tuesday and Wednesday this year at 2:30. To be in with a chance of winning, just text your name and where you're from, plus your email address to 0833 97 97 97, and we'll be announcing the two winners on the programme just before we finish up at 11 o'clock. Coming up shortly though, we're going to be telling you about a project up in Skuldara in Kilcock called Love Language. What is it? We'll find out after these.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we got an email that says, "Dear KFM, I hope this finds you well. My name is Saoirse Elliott and I'm reaching out on behalf of our YSI class. I wanted to reach out to discuss the project that our class has been working on. We're a school up in Kilcock called Skuldara. We're passionate about bringing love language into all primary schools across Ireland to create a more inclusive environment for those who are non-verbal. Saoirse Elliott, a student at Skuldara in Kilcock, and also her teacher, Melissa Hickey, are with me on the line. And Saoirse, we might start off with you, and the most basic question that you'll have to answer for us is, what is love language?
Love language is used with people who might not be non-verbal or might not be able to communicate through spoken language or don't feel comfortable speaking the word. When you're doing the sign, you also have to say the word out loud so they can understand.
So it's not sign language, is it? It's a more different version of love language then?
It's a lot less complex than sign language. It's like the 500 signs, and it's evolving to have more signs to make it easier for people to communicate.
And you believe that by promoting the use of love language, you can create a more supportive and understanding environment for all non-verbal children in Ireland. Is it being used in schools at the moment?
In some schools, yes, but not, like, compulsory.
Right. And as part of your project, you want to bring it into more schools, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, Melissa Hickey is also on the line, a teacher with Skuldara in Kilcock. Melissa, tell us about your role and a little bit more about what the students are hoping to do up in Kilcock.
So the class I have are called Young Social Innovators, and they have to do a project for the year. So I have 26 transition year students. So part of the project is they have to focus on a social issue that really matters to them. So they chose inclusivity, and they really focus in on communication because everybody has a right to be able to communicate. So they decided that they were going to focus on love language because we have some students that are non-verbal in Skuldara, and we want to be able to include them. Like, I know something as simple as just saying hello and using the sign for hello, it can just change a student's day, you know. In the end, what we hope to achieve is we've made posters with like 20 basic signs for schools. And this is all the students now, this is not me. We've made leaflets, we've made posters for shops, and we want to get love language out into the community as much as possible. And we want to, Saoirse actually has sent loads of letters out to TDs, including, who did you send them out to? Liam Radker and everything?
Norma Foley and the president, Michael D. Higgins.
And what was in the letter?
Just saying about how we wanted to
roll it out
in all primary and secondary schools across Ireland, how it like promotes inclusivity, which was our main goal. And we really think it should be rolled out. even if it was in primary schools, when you're taught from a young age in schools, it would benefit people so much more, and it could be constantly refreshed. That everyone has the right to communicate with others, even if it's not through the traditional spoken language. Everyone deserves to be included.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. Did you get any response from those TDs then? Have they come back to you?
Yeah, we got a letter from Michael D. Higgins' secretary, and we're waiting for a second letter to see when we can or if we can meet him.
Yeah, because I think it is. Yeah, Melissa?
Oh, sorry. We're going to, obviously, Simon Harris is our new Taoiseach, so we're going to write a personal letter to him because we know how involved he is, as I am. So we know he's aware of all of language already. So that's our next big thing that we're going to do, isn't it, Saoirse?
Yeah.
And then hopefully you're going to encourage more schools to adopt this approach and create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for all schools. And I remember, Melissa, just aside from this, we had you on the programme last year where you had, was it a dog in the school that was promoting?
Vigo. Yeah.
Tell us about him.
He is doing absolutely great. He's in the office with us now. We heard his name being called there. He is absolutely, he's the most fantastic mascot for the school. He is the biggest asset we have. The way he comes into classes, his first handler is the vice principal. So he kind of is based in her office. But if there's any students that have any problems during the day or upset, or some students might have anxiety, like he is just, he's brilliant. He goes straight over, head on the lap, and he almost like takes it off them. And he allows like conversation to happen. They don't feel nervous talking to Miss Ward or anything about what's happened because like he's just brilliant. And even just walking down the corridor with him, the smile he puts on everybody's face. What do you think of him, Saoirse?
Oh, he's brilliant. You see people who might be like a bit stressed talking to Miss Ward, but the dog would like calm them down, being able to like rub him, being able to like another comfort level.
Yeah, I think it's a very progressive school is what I gather from Scoldara in Kilcock. Very inclusive as well, and you're doing great work up there from the students, principals, staff, and I know parents as well getting involved too. We wish you the best of luck with your Law of Language project, and maybe come back to us later on in the year. Let us know how you're getting on and whether or not you get a response from those TDs. Again, to remind you, Law of Language, a manual sign system used by children and adults with intellectual disabilities and communication needs in Ireland. And Saoirse Elliott and her class, YSI, Young Social Innovators class, hoping to broaden the discussion around Law of Language and bring it into other schools as well. So thanks to Saoirse for taking our call and to teacher Melissa Hickey as well. Good morning to you both. Just going back to DIY, Christina in Maynooth texts in to say that apparently you can do a basic course in the evenings in schools. She learned some basic things from watching her dad when she was a child, and also from some of those evening classes as well for DIY. Let's go back to local issues then, and out to Fianna Fáil councillor and indeed Mayor of Kildare, Dara Fitzpatrick. Dara, welcome in to the programme, and good morning to you. Looking at issues that you raised with Kildare County Council, first of all, you wanted the Claymaynooth Municipal District to receive a deputation at the May meeting from the Derry Mullen residents in relation to a road which is public but no longer recorded as being public on the council mapping system. What's happening here?
Yeah, look, this is a joint motion between myself and Councillor Wise in Allenwood. And Councillor Wise and myself have been getting representations from people who live down the road. And people will know the road when I mention who used to live down the road. A man called Austin Curry, who was a Fine Gael TD in Dublin, retired and lived in Allenwood for a number of years before his death, and he lived on that road. I have had made representations in the past to get works done on the road being tarred, the road potholes being filled, and the council always filled these holes and potholes. And then we went this time to try to get a little bit of work done again on the road, and unfortunately we heard that the road wasn't in charge, and we put up the argument to Kildare County Council that it was in charge, and there was to and fro between myself and Councillor Wise on numerous occasions and officials inside Kildare County Council. And only last week we found this joint motion, it pushed it on another little bit, and we received assertions from the council that there were whether they made a mistake or didn't make a mistake, but they're now saying that the road is in charge and some kind of remedial works will be carried out in the road. So that's good news for the people of that who live on that road. It's Frank Mourne and all the Mournes live down on that road, and Austin Curry and a few other families. And it's good that the road is now in charge and something can be done again.
All right, let's go then up around the Broadford area. You wanted the council to investigate the possibility of changing the entrance to Ballinadrimna or Ballinadrimney Cemetery.
I know, and I was in shock when I was chatting to you off air, when you actually knew this cemetery, knew the circumstances around this cemetery. This is a cemetery up as you're heading out onto Mainalvi, the old Mainalvi, Kinnegad Road at Mainalvi, on the right-hand side from Broadford. It's up on a hill on the side of the road, and it's an older graveyard. It hasn't been used too often. There's probably been two funerals in it in the last year. And in both circumstances, the hearse and the covenant and the family had to walk in by a personal farmhouse. And it's not right going forward. It's actually just an ordinary door and a keypad, and you have to put your keypad in. And the farmer has to open up the gate entrance to allow the coffin gain exit. Now, there is an alternative exit there, right away there in another field. And I'm asking the council to investigate the alternative of taking the exit away from the man's personal property and moving it on to an exit. He's agreed to talk to Kildare County Council, and I've now got reassurances from the council that they will engage with the landowner there with a view to trying to investigate and move forward a new entrance at the graveyard, which is a bit of good news as well.
Yeah, because as I mentioned to you, I'd have a huge interest in local history, so I was up at that graveyard, and I recall you do have to go through a field to get to it, or you have to go in through that residence, as you've said, so hopefully...
And you have to know the keypad and the number of the keypad to get in through that entrance. If any local people or people who would have people deceased in the graveyard would know that entrance.
Yeah, all right. What about Alan Cross then, Dara? Can people not see around the corner at Alan Cross or what's happening?
No, look, this is a terrible circumstance. Not a terrible circumstance, but during the real heavy rain back about a couple of months ago, the road started to flood there, and the council carried out remedial work. They found that there was a pipe blocked down between Alan Cross and Mulrennans on the left-hand side as you're heading to Mulrennans. And like they fixed the pipe and they got rid of the water off the road, which was the emergency at the time, and they had to get rid of the water off the road. But they left the grass verge in a terrible state, and it's still in a terrible state. If you drive the road now, you'll see it there on the left-hand side as you're heading towards Mulrennan. And I had a meeting on site with the area engineer and local residents, and he said he'd reinstate the verge to nearly a grass circumstance on the side of the road where people could walk from Alan Cross down to Mulrennan on that grass verge safely. It's not safe to do that at the moment. And I'm asking the area engineer and the area office to come out and carry out them works. And as he reassured me at the meeting on Friday, as soon as the weather dries up a little bit, he will send somebody out to carry out the works. So hopefully that will resolve that issue at Alan Cross.
Stapletown Cemetery, any update on works there?
Yeah, another one here. This is a graveyard where the extension was carried out a number of years ago. But over a period of time, and especially through COVID, the graveyard went into complete overgrown. And you couldn't even see where to put in curbs or anything like that in the graveyard. Kildare County Council have started the works on the tidying up of that particular new extension. And they've told me that they will have all the works carried out by early summer. There's a necessity for the graveyard space in Stapletown, but it's not that urgent at the moment. But it'll be nice to see the new graveyard put back in its correct position, and the grass and the verges all kept up and kept up to date.
Finally, before we let you go, Dara, a lot of messages coming in this morning and a lot on social media. Robertstown in mourning today as the death announced of Frank Dowling, who's very well known there in the village, but also in the GAA circle as well.
Yeah, look at it. Words fail me this morning, to be absolutely honest with you, Owen. Frank was a good friend of mine. We shared a lot of conversations over the years. I actually had a pint in Wells's in Robertstown before Christmas with Frank one of the nights. He was a lovely man. He was a man that you'd look up to in the community. As I spoke last night about him, I said he was a thorough gentleman. a quiet man who got about his business on a daily basis, worked very hard, worked for his family, and worked for his kids and his now grandchildren, who we love dearly. And it's just a terrible, terrible tragedy that happened so quickly. To think that a man in the full of his health, who ran regularly, trained, done all the right things in life, and now suddenly for his family to hit with something like this, it's just a terrible tragedy. And it's a terrible feeling of loss in the community in Robertstown this morning.
Yeah, a lot of people contacting us this morning to pass on their condolences on the passing of Frank. And I was reading a post from Robertstown GAA this morning that says, "It's with the saddest of hearts our entire club community sends our deepest condolences to Anne, Amy, Brian, Kevin, Noah, Pippa, Lottie and all the family on the passing of Frank Dowling. There will be thousands upon thousands of tears, but yours will be the heaviest. Yours will be endless, as Frank was always there for this club, for this village. We are here for you now." It says, "When his club called, Frank answered. To put it simply, Frank loved Robertstown and Robertstown loved Frank." So our condolences go out to all of the extended family there. Dara Fitzpatrick, thanks for your time this morning on those local issues and for those few words as well. I just want to go back to a couple of messages then that have come in, and a listener says, "In relation to text message scams, I'm waiting for a parcel in the post. My friend who sent it has been tracking it to say that the tracking says it has arrived in Ireland. The very next day, I got the usual text scam to say a parcel is in customs waiting for a tax. About a month ago, I used the M50 toll and forgot to pay. 2 days out of the blue after that, I got a text pretending to say I haven't paid my toll and to log in and pay the late fees. Wouldn't one think that these fraudsters have more access to our movements than we know?" According to a listener. Yeah, it's an interesting one. And, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. How do they know that, you know, you've just done a certain thing or been in a certain place, or is it just coincidence? But if it happens more than once, you'd say it couldn't just be coincidence. "Hi Owen, I think the law of language is a brilliant idea. My granddaughter Freya Anderson is 15 months old. She watches an educational program for her age that incorporates sign. She now uses two signs when she says her words for more and eat every single time, like it's normal and natural to do, soaking it up like a sponge, as they say." And that comes in from her nanny Adrian. Thanks for that, Adrian. And yeah, I think the initiative that students are doing up in Skuldara in Kilcock is brilliant. Law of Language, a manual sign system used by children and adults with intellectual disabilities and communicational needs in Ireland, and they want all primary schools across Ireland to incorporate Law of Language, and it's part of their Young Social Innovators project, and they've written to TDs as well to try and get this incorporated. So yeah, great work being done.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Bianca has just texted in to send a couple of scam messages that she's gotten as well. She says, "Here's two different scam texts. One saying Amazon, you paid €1,500 for a Canon camera and you need to pay more. So obviously you didn't buy a Canon camera. And the other one, if you don't mind, the scammers are speaking Osceola now." So they're not just speaking English, they're speaking Osceola. So, you know, they're very intelligent, these scammers. Another one here says, from Mags, "Those scams about the tolls are a coincidence. They're computer generated and get sent out regularly. I get them all the time. eFlow don't send texts." So Mags saying that they are generated by computer and just coming in as a coincidence. Final chance to enter into our competition for Punchestown tickets this morning. Two pairs of choice tickets to give away away, which means that you can attend on any one of the first 3 days, on the Tuesday, the Wednesday or the Thursday, the 30th of April. It gets underway, runs up until the 4th of May. All you have to do is text the word Punchestown, followed by your name and where you're from, and your email address to 0833 97 97 97, and we'll be announcing the two winners before we finish up. Seamus Dillon is with me in studio now to look back at the weekend GAA action. And Seamus, I mean, what more can we say about this Kildare women's football team? They are just the team that keeps on giving, and they did it in the most spectacular fashion up in Croke Park yesterday, beating Tyrone to win the Division 2 league title.
Yeah, morning on. 22 in a row now with Diana Hora. She always deflects away from it, and I think off her interview yesterday, she was, when we were reminded her, you know, it was something that maybe she had forgot a little bit about, but it's unbelievable the run that these girls, these girls are on at the moment. Back-to-back promotions, Leinster Intermediate title, All-Ireland Intermediate title, and in 2 weeks' time they'll step it up now into the first round of the Leinster Championship, where they'll take on Dublin in Parnell Park. I think it's the 21st of the 21st of April, so that's a big step up for them, something that they're really looking forward to. It's probably where they deserve to be for the level of success they've had, and you know, they won't be out of place. It'll be a big step up, but they're certainly, what they've produced, a really good 2-9 to 12 point victory yesterday. It was a game that probably Kildare struggled in parts. There was a 12 to 15 minute spell throughout the first half. I think when the rain came, the Kildare seemed to disappear, but they came back into it before the halftime break. Clara Sullivan had put them 1-1 to 2 points in front with a goal, an excellent pass from it was Roisin Byrne put her through on goals, and Clare went 3 points ahead when Roisin kicked the free in the 7th minute. But four in a row for the Tyrone girls. Maria Canavan playing a corner forward. She was supremely accurate from frees. She scored 8 points the afternoon, 7 of those coming from frees. But a second Kildare goal just before the halftime break from Nessa Dooley. Niamh Farley, young girl from Kill, making her debut appearance in Croke Park. She contributed a point in the second half, but she was wide awake to a quick Tyrone kick out, won the ball, played it into Nessa Dooley, and Kildare went to the dressing room 2-4 to 6 points in front, and it did take them 11 or 12 minutes into that second half before they got a score. Trina Duggan, again, Roisin Byrne won what looked like a hopeless ball out on the end line, and got it back across to Trina, and that was an important score, because Tyrone just kept coming and coming, and for a team that had scored 15 goals throughout the league campaign, you know, for Kildare to have come away yesterday afternoon without conceding a goal was always going to be a major, major plus for them. In that second half, then over the closing 8 to 12 minutes, Lara Kernan come in as a sub, Niamh Farley, as I say, Ellen Dowling and Nessa Dooley all kick points to keep them 4 points in front there throughout those important minutes of where we were closing in on full time. And you know, there's a lot to be said on for the clock in the ladies' football, because you can see it as it happens. You know, when it hits zero and the hooter's going to go, it's over. There's, you know, and Kildare were very good in possession over those last 2 or 3 minutes, hanging on to the ball, working it back and forth across the field, and testament to the level of fitness that they had. But look at it, it's been some time for them. Where is it going to stop, you know? But yeah, it's brilliant.
When you look back at last year, and we mentioned this on the Sportsbeat programme yesterday, winning the Division 3 league title, winning the Leinster title, winning the All-Ireland title, now winning the Division 2 title, getting promoted up to Division 1. And you would have to say are probably the best team in the country at this stage, going by form.
On form, absolutely. As I say, it's 22 games unbeaten to come from Division 3 into Division 2, you know, hoping that you were going to consolidate your position for a year or two and build towards a Division 2 and getting promotion to the Division 1. You know, they started off beating Monaghan at home in Newbridge in the opening game, and then they were on the road away to Donegal, a massive game. Donegal had only come down from Division 1. They went to Cavan and beat them. They went to Tipperary and won. and finished off with two wins at home against Laois and Westmeath. So, I mean, you know, it goes without saying, the form team in the country, you know, it's disappointing. You turn on different sports programmes this morning and they don't even get a mention. And, you know, that's probably disheartening. But I tell you, they're an unbelievable bunch of girls. Even when the pressure came on yesterday, there was no panic, nothing on the sideline even. The girls kept working away, kept working to their game plan and got this vital scores. And I think those two goals, but certainly the second one just before half time, to go in 4 points ahead instead of a point, was a major turning point. And yeah, look at it, it was probably a little unusual to see Clare playing in black yesterday because of the clash of the colours of the jerseys. But I don't know, whatever jerseys these girls are putting on, they're certainly turning on the performances, and compliments to every one of them.
I saw a couple of photographs as well yesterday from the homecoming, I think, in the Glen Royal Hotel in Maynooth. And it was great to see younger kids going up and getting their photographs taken with the team, getting autographs signed as well. So they are starting to create a buzz now within the county, which is great.
Yeah, and look at it, I suppose if you look back over the last couple of years, Kildare have had success at 14s, 16s, minors. And you know yourself, being involved in your own club, like, ladies football is going from strength to strength. And, you know, I've a niece there playing at the moment on the minor team. And, you know, from the way these girls are conducting themselves, they want to be part of that senior panel sooner rather than later, because to see what's going on. But yeah, to see all those kids, and I saw Kilcullen had a busload of under 12s up to Croke Park yesterday, and probably a lot more. And then you go to the Glen Royal yesterday evening, and the excitement on those kids' faces, you know, it just goes to show what it means to them, and they're the future as well. But the girls at the senior level are so in the a fairly solid foundation, and can only bode well for the future.
Let's hear from the captain then, Grace Clifford.
We want to win every game that we play, and look, Tyrone were super today. Tactically, they threw everything at us, and I always think in a final anything can happen. You know, we shown that last year against Clare as well. Anything can happen, and you know, kind of special things happen, special moments. So to be honest, it wasn't like till the bitter end there, it was kind of heart in your mouth stuff. It still felt, even though we were a few points up, but look, it's just a great day, and it's surreal enough stuff.
And the manager is Diane O'Hora.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the moon. I suppose when we were starting out here at the start of the year, we wanted to consolidate our position in the division, stay safe. And then obviously the focus changed as we got a few wins and got some momentum. I think today, like in terms of, you know, Mary's leadership from goals the whole way up to Roisin up front, I thought everyone absolutely dug in really deep. Tyrone threw the kitchen sink at us. They did a really good job on their analysis. I think for us, we were just really, really pleased with the defensive unit.
Yeah, Noelle in Kildare Town text in with a photograph of her daughter Thea and her friend Oisin enjoying the game at Croke Park yesterday. The countdown at the end was brilliant. She said all the kids there supporting the ladies counted down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 together. It was magical. The ladies' teamwork was so patient and trusting of each other. Fab to watch and brilliant for my daughter to see where she could be one day. And that comes in from Noelle. Super message, Noelle, and thanks for sending that through. Before we wrap up then, Seamus, a quick word on the senior men's footballers then, because Wicklow produced a bit of a shock. Those in Wicklow wouldn't say it was a shock though, because they had you know, belief going into the match against Westmeath yesterday that they could win. What that means now is Kildare play Wicklow in the Leinster quarter-final this coming Sunday in Port Laois.
Yeah, you can certainly take nothing for granted when it comes to GAA, and certainly in Championship. I think we were all, and with all due respect to our neighbours in Wicklow, everybody thought that maybe Westmeath, being the form team, winning the Division 3 title only the week before, that it was going to be maybe a warm-up and a handy game for them. But you have to hand it to Wicklow, they were brilliant yesterday. It throws around up a different scenario now for Glenn Ryan and his management team. They probably would have been keeping an eye on Westmeath, but yeah, Wicklow were full value for their win. They put it up to Westmeath for long periods. So I only saw the highlights last night, but you'd have to say they worked in packs. They were hungry, disciplined, and they'll prove a tough opposition for Kildare come again next Sunday. There won't be anything taken for granted. I know we beat them last year down in Carlow. It took a while to get away, and we did win by 10 points. But, you know, it's a different game. It's certainly Wanda Kildare will fancy their chances in, but they'll have to be at top of their game to beat a solid looking Wicklow team. Oisín McConville has done a lot of good work, and as he said last night in his interview, you know, they got relegated from Division 3, but there was a lot of games where they were touch and go, and you know, it probably wasn't a true reflection of their year. But so you can't trust anything but an opportunity for the Kildare to get to a Leinster semi-final.
Yeah, that game is this Sunday, 1:45 in Amore Park in Portlaoise, and we'll have full commentary on KFM in association with Hanlon Concrete Products of Robertstown. And by the way, huge thanks to Dowling's Bar in Ballyshannon for their sponsorship coverage of our game yesterday. Also, just a quick word, Seamus, on the minor hurlers and the under 20 hurlers. Two great wins at the weekend, beating Kerry and Carlow.
Yeah, minors have made it two in a row now, and they've one round left, and then the under 20s, which was their first outing of the year, although it was called round two. Kerry and Carlow had played the previous week, Kerry losing out to Carlow, and that ends their place in the competition. So Kildare will finish second in the group. They're out again next Friday night against Carlow at 7:30 in Mangard Park, and then the county minor footballers will play on Saturday afternoon in Mangard Park in their second round of the minor championship. And then we've got the senior hurlers away on Saturday to Sligo in the Christie Ring.
Yeah, we'll have much more on all of those games on Kildare Scoreboard this evening from 6:25. Just before we go, well done to Helen McLaughlin in Kilteel, and also to Kathleen Maguire in Clane, who have won choice tickets for Punchestown races at the end of this month. We have pairs of tickets to give away all this week, so if you didn't win this morning, of course tune in later on in the week and you can be in with a chance of winning. That's it from us. Back again tomorrow morning at the same time between 9 and 11. Thanks to producers Hannah Kelly and Emma O'Connor. From me, Owen Beattie. Have a great Monday.